Well, good evening, everybody. Let's go ahead and get started. Hello, all. Can you hear me? Let's all try shushing everyone by us. Can we try a little shh? Let's try that. Okay, we're ready to get started. Some last people coming in to collect. So good evening, all. I'm George Lahanis, City Manager for the City of Northville. Hopefully you can hear me if I lean over a little bit like this. My pleasure to welcome you to our meeting tonight. I think you all probably know why you're here, but just as a reminder, this is really a pre-construction or construction kickoff information meeting for the Downs. This is really intended so that the people who live nearby the Downs project understand the expectations, what they would expect to see, what they could expect in terms of the issues being managed from the Downs development team, so that, you know, we all know that when there's construction, if someone's reconstructing your street, there's the possibility for some frustrations to develop if you're right adjacent to that. And we want to make sure you get to hear directly from the developer, and we get to hear from you about what those issues are, how are they going to address them, how are they going to make sure that everyone is sort of living as harmoniously together as possible over the next couple of years. So that's the purpose of this evening's meeting, and obviously we'll be hearing from the developer. The plan tonight is to, after some very brief remarks by me, is to bring the developer up, have them do their presentation, and they're going to go through their slides and do a presentation. And if we could hold questions until the end and have a section at the end for questions, because there may be people who are just here for the presentation and they want to get out and they got to go somewhere else and they've got a time crunch. So rather than hold people up and delay the presentation with question and answer during, we'll just ask everyone to hold your questions to the end. And also, of course, when you have questions, if we do the whole presentation, we may get answers right there that you don't even need to ask your question. So it may save time in the long run. So we'd appreciate that. So I am really excited about this project. You know, I've only been here a year, but we've had lots of time to talk about the Downs development, and we've done a lot of intensive work on it. And I'm very excited about it. I know a lot of you have been here since the beginning, over 5 years of discussion, and hopefully a lot of you are excited as well. Why am I excited about this? It's bringing a lot of great things to the community. If you think about the green space, you think about the park amenities, these are sort of generational improvements to our community that we'll get to enjoy for many, many years to come. Right now, you walk down River Street and you see no river. You see a chain link fence. We're going to get to see a river that's in a concrete tube put back into a natural state for the community to enjoy. It's going to be a great project. Also going to have trails that are going to connect down south and then eventually connect up north as well. So we all know that trail amenities are one of the best amenities you can have. It promotes people getting out and doing exercise, walking, dog walking, and it really is a great fitness and amenity for a community. So excited about that as well. And I also think overall that if you think about development, this is smart, sustainable development. This is what we really want to be doing in terms of being a city. Now, why? Think about another form of development where instead of using 49 acres right adjacent to your downtown that has been developed and used, it's got asphalt and concrete and older buildings there. Now, that's been used for 80 years. You could put the same size development out in a green field, and what would that look like? You'd have to put roads going out there. You'd have to put underground infrastructure, which is very costly, further out into the country. And that's what we call urban sprawl, right? This is the opposite of urban sprawl. It's infill development. It is redevelopment, essentially recycling and repurposing land that has already been used. And again, exciting because this is in proximity to downtown. So you have all of that vibrance and energy and excitement of people walking downtown for dinner, for lunch, for coffee, shopping. They also may be people who are working downtown living here. And again, less car trips, less parking needs in the downtown because you have more people adjacent to the downtown. So I think there's lots of exciting opportunities from this development. It's going to do lots of great things for the community. And when you think about compact, sustainable development, the city's infrastructure is built out. Our water and sewer infrastructure has capacity. That means we can add this. If you're going out further into the country, again, you're adding things. You're adding capacity that you may not have to do development. So again, infill redevelopment is smart, sustainable development. And I think that's great for the environment and great for this community as well. So very excited about the project. I want to talk just briefly and introduce the people who are here helping the city manage this from the city side. So just briefly, you know, we have a lot in alignment with HP. They're the developer. A lot in alignment in terms of we both want a successful, fully built out project. We want River Park, we want all that stuff done because it's great for the community. So in that we're aligned. But we have slightly different views, right, or slightly different perspectives. They're the developer, it's their project. We're the city, we're making sure they're following the codes, making sure they're following the ordinances and the laws, and they're doing it all to the specifications they're supposed to. Also building the project that was approved by Council and the Planning Commission. So we have this little bit of a regulatory function. But overall, just like them, we want a successful project. It's good for the community. So with that, some of the people who are helping the city do their work, Mike Dominey, our Public Works Director, give a wave, Mike. George Sokoff, who's an engineering from OHM, he's our engineering expert. Wendy Longfrey next to him is our Director of Strategic Planning. She's a landscape architect and will be overseeing the parks amenities for construction. So we've got a team internally that will be helping to manage this, as well as working with the developer to make sure things are all moving along smoothly. I hope you had a chance when you came in to sign up for the email list. Our plan is to have this kickoff meeting and then be able to provide regular updates. Every month is our commitment. Whether there's much to update you on or not, we're going to be sending updates out each month or more frequently if something is happening that really needs an update. So please sign up for those updates so we can produce this information. It may be a brief update, it may be a paragraph, it may be more, but we want you to be able to have that information on a regular basis. So please, if you get a chance coming out or leaving the meeting, please sign up for that as well so we can communicate with you on a regular basis. Now with that, I'm going to turn it over to HP, to Seth Herkowitz, to take over, and I'm going to sit down, but I will be around for questions and answers at the end if there's anything for me. Go ahead, Seth. Thank you.
I want to just start by welcoming everybody to our Northville Downs construction update meeting. First of all, we appreciate everybody taking the time out of their busy schedules to be here tonight and to listen to our presentation. We appreciate the introduction from George and all the work that the city team is doing on behalf of this project. I'm going to start by introducing some of the members of our team. First, a partner, Hunter Pasture, and Senior Vice President of Multifamily Construction, Brett Juhas. Next is, as many of you know, Omar Eid. Omar is our Vice President of Development at Hunter Pasture. Andy Milia, Franklin Construction Company. Andy is one of the most preeminent land development experts in Southeast Michigan. Franklin Construction and Hunter Pasture have developed approximately 2,000 residential lots over the last 10 years together. And then Ian Sakwa. Ian's a development associate and will be a project manager on the Downs development. And then everybody here is familiar with Tim O'Brien, who is our partner on the Northville Downs project. Just building off of George's introduction, and our goal tonight is really twofold. So first of all, we want to discuss our construction impact mitigation approach and overall strategies. And then second, we want to review our upcoming construction schedule, really regarding our initial construction activities. So that includes abatement, that includes demolition, that includes land development on both the north property and the south property. And when we talk about the south property, we're talking about both the tract parcel and the future River Park parcel. I know many of the people in this room have followed our project closely over the past several years, but I just want to update the group on the advancements that we've had on numerous fronts over the past several months. First, we received our final site plan approval in November of 2023. We closed on the south property land in February of 2024. Again, that includes both the tract parcel and the future River Park parcel. We continue to work with a host of city, county, and state agencies on our permit procurement, both for infrastructure installation, that includes our grading and utilities, water, sanitary, and storm, our River Park permitting. So that includes the joint permit application with EGLE, that's the State
Environmental Agency, and our FEMA, that's Federal Emergency Management Agency, submittal, both of which are under active review. I do want to reinforce again for the group that attended tonight and anyone that you passed the word on to, that as our project progresses, we will continue to participate in similar forums like this, and we'll update the community on our development progress, both in writing and in meetings like this. I would expect our next community update to likely occur in the fall. That'll be the time in which we start to go vertical with our construction, and we'll provide a similar meeting at that time. Omar, if you could just go to the next slide. Just quickly to reinforce, again, the sponsors of this project are us, Hunter Pasture, Forbes Company, and Suave Enterprises on the north, and then Toll Brothers on the southern property. Franklin Construction Company is serving as the construction manager for land activities, both on the north, as well as the abatement and demolition on the south, and in the track parcel, as well as future construction of the river park. Renaissance is the demolition company for the project. As you may know, we went through a public bid process that was led by the city of Northville. Renaissance was the low bidder amongst the approximately 9 other companies that participated in the bid. While they are based in Indianapolis, they have a growing footprint in Metro Detroit. Two of the more recent and notable projects that they've participated in are the General Motors Warren Transmission Facility and then the American Motors headquarters in Detroit. The remediation contractor, and they're actively working on the site now, is Midwest Environmental. They are a subcontractor of Renaissance. Midwest is also a large-scale contractor equipped to handle a project of this scale and this size. The pest control contractor is Griffin Pest Solutions. They're based in Michigan. They're a Green Pro certified National Pest Management Association. Next slide, please, Omar. So just to reinforce again, we as a development firm have a lot of experience in large-scale redevelopment, specifically large-scale redevelopment in close proximity to downtowns and adjacent residential neighborhoods. So we understand firsthand the importance of construction impact mitigation, of communication, and of best practices. And we look forward to open, active, and transparent communication as our project and our development progresses. So with that, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Andy Milia, and Andy's going to walk through in greater detail our construction impact mitigation and our project schedule.
Thank you, Seth. Andy Milia. Can everybody see the screen okay, or is it necessary to turn down the lights? Thank you. As Seth said, our firm is handling the construction management of the demolition, the abatement, the build-out of the river, and then the North Scope infrastructure, and then Toll Brothers, once all this is removed, will take over the infrastructure construction of the southern portion and the residential portion. In anticipation of a lot of your questions tonight, we put together this presentation, which we hope answers the majority of your questions. If not, as George said, we're free to answer any questions at the end. But we put a list together of what we think are priorities or very important issues. Pest control, dust control, noise control, traffic control, environmental control, safety on the site, both for the safety of the workers and safety of the neighborhood, and as well as the aesthetics of the site during construction. So I'll go through each one of these in detail. This is the site. It is bounded by Katy Street on the top or on the north, 7 Mile on the south, Center Street on the left, which is the west, and River on the right. This comprises just under 50 acres. We kind of talk about it in two sections, this being Beale Street and everything north of that, which we kind of call North Scope, and everything south of that is the southern portion, which we sometimes refer to as the track portion on the west, and then the new river portion on the east. Everything in pink is an existing building that was associated with North Downs, which will be torn down. The large building is the main clubhouse building, but a lot of you are probably not aware of a lot of the auxiliary buildings on 7 Mile, which are kind of hidden by the woods. Some of the older buildings along River Street as well. All of those buildings will be coming down as part of the demolition over the next 2 to 6 month period. There's 19 buildings in total, and then a small building in the center of the track as well. Everything in yellow is the perimeter. If you notice in the last couple of days, we have 6 foot high chain link fences going around 100% of the site. What you're seeing now is just the fence portion. What will also go up is what's called a windscreen, which will protect, help for dust, help a little bit of noise control, and also help aesthetically. So you'll see that going up in the next couple weeks as well. Starting with pest control, we know that this is an important component, especially when you have the potential of tearing down existing and older buildings. We're pleased that we have retained one of the preeminent companies in town, Griffin Pest Solutions. It's a 95-year-old company. They're one of the pioneers in pest control. We're working through the regional office right here in the Novi area. They invented or pioneered many of the systems that are in place. They started with an assessment of the site. They came out and inspected it for a couple days. They looked for various signs. A lot of it's fairly technical, but they looked for various signs of what type of pest might be there and how they can eradicate that. They determined that there's some raccoons on the property, some porcupines on the property, a lot of mice, fortunately very few rodents, and they can tell by various things, and a few other small things. But their assessment that wasn't too bad, but you know, it doesn't matter what they say, we're concerned with it throughout. So the abatement is going to start prior to the actual demolition of the building, so we get a jump start on that. Different methodologies, I don't want to get into too much detail. It's a little bit gory for some people, but happy to answer any questions. But it will be dealing with the burrows where some of the raccoons are, with a fumigation process for that. They set out bait, I guess bait feeding stations inside the chain link fence where rats and mice would go, and they ingest poison. They come back and they die on the property. And then there's various traps if there's some larger pests that are contained. Everything is done within the fenced-in area, and everything should be self-contained there. And they'll probably start that probably as early as next week, and that will run during the entire demolition process. Dust control is very important. As I said, there will be a chain link fence around the entire perimeter with a windscreen. The main way to control dust is with water. And we're doing two things to control it. There's water on site. We put in a temporary hydrant, and they use what's called water guns. So when the buildings come down and there's dust, there's somebody on site constantly spraying down the dust. Or when you do what's called a loadout, where you're taking and trucking the material off, that creates dust. There's a constant water gun on site. We get into the summer or the duster periods of time, there'll be a water truck on site that literally goes and sprays down the ground to keep the water under control. In addition, we'll have on-site personnel, both the demolition company as well as our personnel will be on site. And we've hired a third-party testing company that will be on site. We'll have monitors, air monitor systems on the perimeter of the site, and they do daily reports. So we think, you know, this could be, because it's a large area, it's susceptible to dust, and we have a very significant program in place to combat that. Noise control is very important. Fortunately, the buildings actually come down in a couple of days, and it's kind of interesting to watch. You see an excavator, some of the smaller buildings will literally come down in an hour. What generally takes time and creates some of the noise is the load out or the trucking off of that of the debris. First thing that's important to know is that there's two types of crushing. There's on-site crushing, which is generally the preferred route, but I'm pleased to say that we're going to be what's called off-site crushing. So all the material that's taken from the site will not be crushed on site. It's loaded into trucks, taken off-site, and then crushed at an off-site facility. So that is faster. A lot of companies will crush on site, and then they'll have a retail operation where they're selling crushed stone on site. We're not doing that. We're trucking everything off. Hours of operation will be per the city ordinance. The city permits hours of operation from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that usually includes weekends. Right now, our demolition contractor is planning on working just Monday through Friday. If we get slowed down for any reason, they might pick up a Saturday. But right now, the plan is Monday through Friday per the city ordinance. So we'll actually be working less hours on site than are permitted. And trucking is also through approved truck routes. I'll show it in a second, but we'll be coming down Center Street and going to the landfills that way for the trucking route. There will be a single gate, single access point. Right now where the existing drive is on Center Street, that gate will be locked during non-working hours and then open just for trucks. No trespassing signs on the property. We'll have security cameras on the property. So we're doing everything for safety for the workers, safety for anybody that might be walking by the site, and then just everything is best management practices. I talked about trucking through the approved routes and a single point of access. This is the truck route here, which will come out this gate here and then go down Center Street. Trucking is also permitted, although it's not anticipated to be on 7 Mile. The landfills are down Sheldon Road, so that's going to be the preferred truck route. Specifically, the areas marked in red are signs that are areas that no construction traffic or no worker traffic will be permitted. All of the employees are directed to go in off the gate on 7 Mile. So we're going to be monitoring that. The city's going to be monitoring that, and sure the neighbors will monitor it as well. And we want to police that as much as anybody. Environmental control, we have multiple third-party testing companies. We have a third-party testing company that will come in after the abatement. We're currently doing the asbestos abatement on the property. Then the third-party company will come in and they'll issue what's called clearance letters, where they acknowledge that all of the environmental issues that were associated with the building have been cleared out. So when the buildings tear down or torn down, that any dust does not contain any environmental material. So that third-party company has been retained. They'll do the clearance letters, and we will provide those to the city prior to demolition. We've also hired a third-party testing company to provide air monitoring during the demolition phase. So in addition to visual air monitoring, that's actual scientific air monitoring, which tests the air quality, and they provide a daily report. There's daily personnel we're conducting that on the abatement process right now. Kind of OSHA standards are being followed in that regard, so that for the safety of all the on-site workers. We have what's called silt fence. When you see construction sites, you see the black silt fence that is trenched in place in the ground. We've finally received our two what's called SESC, soil erosion silt control fence. Those permits are issued by the county, so there's county oversight on that. We monitor those on a daily and provide weekly reports. Our firm is licensed stormwater operator, so that prevents any silt that's on the site during storm events or rainwater events from getting off the site, especially as it relates to the river area. Once we start the river construction, that will also have its own silt fence, soil erosion permit, with a third set of permits in place, and that will be monitored on a daily basis. Dumpsters will be maintained on site during construction, as they have been during the past several weeks. Safety, our firm has been in business for 40 years. We've never had a construction accident. We're pleased that the companies that we generally bid and retain are all very large licensed insurance companies. So we're dealing with large regional companies. They have all their own social protocols and procedures, and we have a long history of working with the majority of companies. The entire site will be fenced. Once the windscreen goes up, then you'll see the no trespassing signs go up as well, and then we're going to be having security cameras at the entranceway as well. But if anybody does visit, then we'll have a log of, or at least some film evidence of who might have been on the site or shouldn't have been. No visitors will be allowed on the site, other than being accompanied by one of our personnel. A lot of curious people have been walking through the sites for curiosity's sake and like nostalgia. But as much as we appreciate that, we appreciate people's interest, we value safety and ask that nobody visited the site. Anybody from the city or any of the inspectors will be accompanied on the site as well. Sidewalks, if you notice the fence going up on Center Street, the sidewalk has been maintained on Center Street, also be maintained on Katy and on the area of River Street. So the fence has been placed inside that, so sidewalk access is still permitted during construction, during demolition. And all our contractors are obviously insured. Aesthetics during construction, the windscreen has a functional purpose of controlling dust, but also has an aesthetic purpose of kind of closing in sight. So, you're going to see a pile of rubble initially while it's high, and it could be somewhat unsightly, but the windscreen is designed to hide a lot of that as well. On-site personnel will be supervising anything, and all our contractors will have another formal pre-meeting when some of the earthwork starts. We'll have another formal pre-meeting with the city officials, and they have what's called a pre-construction meeting where all the ordinances are reviewed as well. So safety is a concern, noise is a concern. All these issues that we raise are of concern to us, and we work it into our best practices. Seth, do you want to talk go through scheduling? So we talked mostly about the activities that are going to be over the next 2 to 3 months, which is predominantly abatement of the buildings and demolition. Perimeter fencing is going up now. Soil erosion will be going up shortly. We'll start with the house demolition. There's a small home on River Street. There's a small apartment on Center Street. You'll see those come down. Then you'll see a lot of the hardscape demolition, which is the parking lot on both on the north side, mostly a gravel parking lot, and the track parking lot, which is a combination of gravel and some pavement, track material, and then finally the buildings themselves will be the longer period, which will be April through June. Once this work is done, then some of the infrastructure work on the north side will start, and then infrastructure on the river will start, and I anticipate that that will probably be a whole separate meeting and discussion, and we'll have a lot more details. That is still in the permitting process. We still have a number of steps to go through where those issues are done. We're in the final stages of permitting on this. We just need to finalize some utility disconnects, and we'll be formally submitting the demolition permit. The other permits are in place for soil erosion and such. So that concludes our formal part of our presentation. I'm happy to answer any specific questions that you have related to the issues. Yes, sir.
Yeah, a few questions. One of the concerns I have is fire debris. You're moving all that construction material off site. What are you going to do to address stuff that falls on the road, that ends up in people's tires?
Good question. A couple of things. We install what's called a mud mat, which is 1x3 stone at the entrance, so that will take off dirt and a lot of the debris that's on the tires of the trucks going out. So that's inspected, and there's the mud mats in place to prevent it. If that doesn't work, we'll extend. It will work, but if it's not as effective as it should be, we'll extend that and we'll monitor that. So that should prevent the majority of it. If there's additional complaint beyond that, then we would, you know, talk with the demolition company about monitoring and hosing off the tires or doing more to prevent that.
Two other quick questions. So daily dust, air quality, and noise reports, are they going to be posted publicly somewhere so people can take a look at
that? I think we'll have to work that out with the city, and then the city will make arrangements to deem what's appropriate.
And request that you do so, yeah. So we're not...
Yeah. No, transparency is very important.
We agree. The third one is really to say, old kid, I like to watch what's going on. Are there going to be peak holes? What's happening behind it?
If you want, we'll give you your personal peak holes on all four sides. We generally do that. There's two things. One is it allows some of the wind to get through so it doesn't knock the fence down.
Yeah.
We can do that. And we might even, on an off day, do a more formal tour of the process and kind of get a group like this together.
You might want to repeat the questions for people.
Okay, sure.
I apologize if I missed it at your first test grant. You had the yellow outline for what's being worked on. It wasn't around the northwest corner, too, where the farmer's market used to be. But that's part of what's being worked on, too, or not. I'm sorry if I missed that. The northwest corner where the farmer's market used to be, the yellow lines on that. Was that part of the development material?
That's correct. So that is correct. It's part of the development. That'll be developed by Toll Brothers. Their expectation and anticipation is that they'll be commencing their land development work this spring, early summer. The question, just so everybody's aware, was what is the status of the former farmer's market parcel? And Toll Brothers will be developing that this spring, summer.
Developing into what?
Oh, sorry. There'll be single-family attached housing there, consistent with the approved site plan. Sorry, let's go ahead.
Can you go back to your slide on pest control?
Sure.
So, if I heard you correctly, you said they're going to start that?
Correct.
I'm curious as why they didn't. You're already disturbing soil, you're digging down there, you're removing trees along the river. That's where rodents live. They burrow in the ground. And why is that process not starting now?
Because it's a good question. The question is why didn't pest control start earlier? But the primary reason is for safety. The best thing to do is put the fence up first. So when you put the fence up first, and
you're digging longer for the fence when I'm here digging 2 weeks ago.
There's some misinformation out there. What was being dug is digging to put the fence up. So it's a catch 22 to do that. So we excavated along the fence line. The fence is going up, and then the bait traps are put inside the fence. So it's the safest thing to do. So we'll be doing, as soon as the fence is going up, the pest control solutions will start to go in.
So is that report, you said they already did the investigation, or is that report available to us?
Yes.
Tell us where they tested on the site. Like, did they test the culverts and along the river? Where some of the rodents that we don't like, we're going to call rats. Mm-hmm. That's where they tend to stay. And you said that you're going to do mitigation within the site. I don't live on river, but if I did, I would think that you would want to do some mitigation for people who lived right along there, because when you disturb their life, their livelihood, they're going to scatter. And rodents tend to stay in a 1 square mile area of where they originally live, which puts the entire city, south of 8 Mile, in the zone. So yeah. I think that's why most people are here.
The city of Northville has a copy of that report and can make it available.
Is it public?
We certainly can. We certainly can put it on the website. I think that Seth had mentioned that the website is available.
We'll be, like we did during our site plan approval process,
okay.
We have a dedicated website. That website will be transforming into an opportunity and a platform for us to share various reports as we work our way through land development. And we're in the process of updating the website now to reflect those.
Would you put your project plan up there, too, so that we can track where you are and...
When you say our project plan, what do you mean by that?
You must have a project plan for something this big, but like dependencies and, you know, preconditions that have to be met just to make sure that we're following a safe building methodology. I mean, I can't imagine doing something like this without a project plan. You don't just...
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll have all sorts of our various drawings, reports, construction overall, and we'll have as many documents on there as possible, no differently than we've been totally transparent. All the reporting has been done to date throughout our entire site plan approval process.
But I would like to understand, and you probably know because you read the report, did they test around the culverts and around the river itself? Or did they were down there one night driving with lights, but, you know, rats are smart. I mean, did they test the riverbed and the culvert that you're going to uncover?
I'm not sure if they tested the riverbed.
But let us finish the question, and then we'll respond. Yeah.
So the question is, did they test the riverbed? I've gotten a crash course in pest control over the last couple of days with the various project managers. The rodents in this type of situation generally focus more on the barn. They generally focus more on the food sources. And the way to treat that is to provide other food sources for them, which then kills them. I joked around, it's not like you see on TV when somebody goes down into a sewer and there's hundreds of rats that scatter. They don't really anticipate that on this type of thing because it's a fast-flowing river within a confined channel. It's not within a sewer. So they don't really anticipate a problem, but they're prepared to address it if there is a problem when we build the river portion.
And just build, just build.
Yeah. It's very distinct.
Just building on Andy's explanation, we will also be doing further evaluation as the project evolves and leads into additional phases. So the river park itself and the demolition of that culvert is not part of the original phase. That'll be built out as we develop and construct the river park. Right now, the focus is on the demolition of the existing track buildings and outbuildings. That's where the primary focus is at this time. As the project moves to its next phase on the river park, that evaluation and that contract for pest control will be expanded into that area as well.
Cool.
So we'll want to make sure we allow time for everybody to ask questions. So we'll leave one. Jeff, I know you've had your hand up from the beginning. Go ahead, please.
I have a question.
And let me just also say that we on our feel free on our website, I'm going to go to the end. We have an email address there, too, which people actively engage with us, and we're happy to respond there, too, if you have additional questions. You know, so we just want to be courteous of everyone else in the room to allow time. Go ahead, Jeff.
Build on Nancy's statement, there's a reason there's almost 200 people here, I think, today, which is astounding, because this is spring break week in Northville. You know, I checked the garbage cans out that were out this morning in my neighborhood, and it appeared to be half, less than half. So it's astounding. If it weren't spring break, it would probably be 400 people. Just a second. I know the timing, and I don't understand all that. Just to let you know.
We appreciate everybody that attended. Jeff O'Connor.
So, Bill, on her point is, the reason we're here, probably most of the people, we're not being made aware of anything that's going on there, which is what it seems to be. It feels like, anyways, that it's a total lack of transparency. Doesn't it make sense? Just a second. I'm not talking about you, okay?
Okay.
Because I understand your contractual obligations. They're different. It's more leads probably toward the city. The wouldn't it be great to just have a live document somewhere we could go to see all things to downs, whether it's demolition, whether it's site grading, whether it's hauling trash, whether it's hazardous materials we're led to believe are on the site. Okay, and I live in Fieldtown, right? So it's a big concern for us on the west side. But wouldn't it be great? Maybe this is to George, and I think the mayor's here too, that we see everything on a day-to-day basis.
Hey Jeff, I can't promise that we'll post things day-to-day, but we're happy, no differently than we did during our site plan process. When there's major milestones, major reporting, that will go on our Northville Downs website.
This is a massive project with all kinds of moving parts.
Of course.
And all kinds of things that you can schedule out today. Wouldn't it make sense for our community, actually for the city, to protect the city, to protect the developers, to protect our citizens, to have a completely transparency with all things in the house?
Certainly, and if there's a model that we're missing, because I think a pre-construction meeting like this and having regular communication and all that is really sort of setting a gold standard, but I'm willing to look and learn more. So if you can point me to a city website that has that information, that shows that type of just-in-time sharing, I'd be happy to look at it and see if we can emulate it.
We can creatively help with that.
Oh.
You know, here's the thing. There's been things going on for a couple weeks at the site.
Okay.
Right?
soils up. I went to town to have lunch this morning with my wife and my two grandchildren. And as I was pulling up into town, I saw what was paint up over there. But as I looked back down to my neighbor downtown, I saw a light plume of dust floating toward my neighbor. Not heavy, not something you might pick up. But it was because there was a loader there, not a loader, but a shoveler, stirring around, pulling fencing out and pulling debris out. Where's the monitor today? You know? And so, my point, George, or I'm sorry, city manager, George, I'm sorry.
Sure, no problem.
Is that even the last 2 weeks, we were bombarded, certainly by me and many others. Wouldn't it have been better to be proactive about these things and not reactive? Because the last city council meeting, which I respect, the solution that I heard was there's going to be a hotline, you call it.
Yep.
So well, that's reactive. That's
okay. So this is a very long question with many parts. So I saw lots of posts and lots of misinformation, and I walked the site and went and walked the site multiple times with the building official and walked the entire site and saw... I saw a lot of misinformation, but didn't see actually things happening like that. So I was a little surprised to see misinformation and getting people saying things are happening, construction, demolition, and it turned out not to be that. So I was surprised to see all that misinformation, but it was not coming from the city. So we went and checked on a regular basis, and I'm there with my building official driving the site. I'm calling the developer saying what is going on, talking it through. I didn't see that. So,
so
I'm not exactly...
Okay. You're making an argument.
I got it.
To have everything published and transparent,
so
that you won't get as many of those calls.
So I got from you that there is a gold standard out there, and I'm willing to learn and listen. So show me what that is, and we will try to emulate it, because we can always do better on communication. So I'm willing to look at that and see what we can do.
Okay.
And I want to get the information out there, and that's a part of this meeting. This is not a common meeting for a city to have, but we're going to do this, and we're going to try to do it intermittently so people can come in and hear what's going on. And I know the developer will be willing to do that. So if people want to come, if people keep coming to these meetings, we'll keep having these meetings. And we will send out information. I know they're committed to it. So we'll keep going, and if there's a way to communicate better, we'll certainly look at that and see if we can do it.
Okay, gentlemen, straight back with the folder. Yes, sir. Question.
Well,
we've got about 3 years old.
Most of
those
bricks are
going to
be going in the
talking about how high will the fence switching be. The nitrate leaching and the pathogen be built up. The fence is, I live directly across the street. I live in River and Johnson. I can walk up to it. I'm 6'2" and I look over it. And it's not going to protect my house or the people that live on my street with that stuff floating over. But I understand taking it out. And how far are you going to
it's a multi-part question. Is the windscreen tall enough to prevent that? How deep are we digging down to get some of that material out, and do the bricks have asbestos in it? So if I understand the question correctly, so the windscreen is 6 feet high, and obviously that's not going to protect all that. The best deterrent that we have to dust is water. And so we're going to have what's called a water gun on site, which sprays down all the demolition activities to prevent dust from going over. So it's the windscreen helps, but the major deterrent is spraying it down and preventing dust from blowing at. So we're following procedures for demolition. We're doing what is prescribed to do, and we're also going to be testing that with air monitoring. So we're doing everything really above and beyond what's calling for. Air monitors are not a requirement, but we volunteered to do that, and the city suggested it as well. So we are doing that. The bricks do not contain asbestos. So there's various ceiling tiles, floor tiles, plaster. We've had two separate testing companies come in and test it. They've done an asbestos survey, and all that asbestos is being removed by a licensed asbestos company. Then we do what's called a clearance letter. They come in and inspect all of the 19 buildings to confirm that everything has been done properly. So then when they do the demolition, that there's no asbestos getting in the air.
Every bit of concrete and concrete block produced from the 1920s to mid-1985, the actual powder, right, is the cement. The block is a block. Concrete is the mix of powder and aggregate. 10% of that volume from 1920s to 1985, when it was outlawed by the EPA, is asbestos. So when you start tearing these buildings down, asbestos will get airborne, right? Okay? I come from a trade where a significant number of brick masons, brick layers, stone masons have died, okay, from asbestos contamination. So that when that product floats to my neighborhood, his neighborhood, or depending on whether it's downtown, or to Fairbrook and Wing, or to St. Lawrence Estates, where it's going to be carrying asbestos unless every drop of it is watered down.
Well, and so that's why we're using licensed, experienced, third-party testing companies. Why we're having a very significant water dust control process in place. And that's why we are putting daily air monitoring in place for all of these concerns. So we're doing everything and beyond on how we tear down the building.
Hey, I think Andrew had a
I didn't say there was no asbestos. I said we're having everything tested. What has asbestos is being removed properly, including dust control and proper mitigation. So we're doing everything by the book and then some in terms of monitoring. The fence is not the... It's not a practical solution. The practical solution is to treat it with water, to treat the dust with water.
And I want to keep moving. I think Andrew had a question.
All right, so I think obviously there's a lot of people with serious health and safety concerns here, and I think the general premise is a lack of confidence, perhaps the developer or the city themselves, to be fully transparent with a lot of this information. So I know the mayor loves to talk about these, what is it, 27 committees, I think, or something like that. So citizen advisory or committee that is created in Northville that allows the people to oversee the interactions between the city and the developer to oversee that processes and procedures are being done correctly. And I think that would give perhaps the community itself some confidence in the process as they continue to evolve over the next few years.
Andrew, I appreciate your vested concern. I appreciate your concern. The city and the various county and state agencies are responsible for oversight. We have been engaged with the various 27 task forces over the past 4+ years and will continue to engage on a regular basis. We also engage regularly with individual citizens who outreach to us. We will continue to do that. We're not willing to participate in another resident forum where there's another panel that's added, but we're happy to have these ongoing engagements like we're having tonight, which are completely voluntary, to have those meetings, answer those questions. We'll have our website that'll have all the additional information that's been requested of us, and we're happy and open and available to answer any inquiry from any resident at any time. We have a finished site plan and a finished development agreement, and there's specific ordinance requirements that are already set and established to govern our project. So those will be the ones in which we will abide by.
So your phone number is
We have our email, but I'm happy to share our office number as well. We'll make sure that's put on the website for you.
I have one follow-up question. What is, as the developer, your acceptable level of dust? So we can all just be aware when it comes to dust, is that a major concern out of grass? What is acceptable amount of dust that we should be willing to tolerate?
The question was, what is an acceptable amount of dust that you should be tolerating as neighbors. First of all, there's no dust that you should tolerate that has any kind of contaminants in it. So that's what they're monitoring for initially. So if they see that there's any environmental concern, then it would be shut down and dealt with. So you shouldn't have to deal with any environmentally contaminated dust. Beyond that, we'll call it just general construction dust. General construction dust, that's a little bit more subjective, and we would rely on the testing companies that do this for a living and monitor sites, you know, all over the area. So to the extent that they say, hey, there's a problem here, we either need more water or we can't do it on a windy day or do something, we'll listen to the testing companies. And we purposely hired a third-party company and did rely on the demolition contractor to use their own testing companies, which most sites rely on. We went to a third-party contractor. Beyond that, we'll listen to the neighbors in the city. If our testing contractor says there's a problem, and there's no problem, but the neighbor says there's a problem, we'll come out here and we'll visit and we'll witness it, and we'll work with you on what is somewhat of a subjective issue. It's a construction site. There is going to be dust. And it's a necessary part of construction. This is a large site. It's an important site. So we're doing everything we can to do that.
We want to make sure everybody has it. Bill, I know Bill had a question.
You mentioned there was a house on River Street that was going to be torn down. I hope you mean Griswold because the log cabin is over.
As we know, the cabin is not being torn down. He was talking about the house over on Beale and Griswold. Yes, thanks.
Thank you.
Mary, go ahead.
I wanted to mention that there were a lot of large development projects, in this part of Michigan, one being in Fort Town with the train station, and also when you were warned for some large development project. And I understand that there's a technology that has an app called Just Air app, and it's an air monitoring system, and I've gone out to the site. They have a dashboard. It's great. It's all color-coded. It shows the area, shows the level of dust, and talks about, the risk for normal people, for asthmatics, for older people. And I think it might be a good thing to check that out. Just Air, that app. And also, I would just like to say that I think people are most concerned about environmental. Okay, so dust, asbestos. If there's any toxins in the dirt with soil borings, if there could be a dashboard that gives the results out of there, I think that there is a level of comfort, even if it's not the greatest news, for us to know what it is that we're dealing with. So I think the more information you can give, the better. In terms of disinformation or misinformation, people were taking photographs of activity. They were confused about what the activity was. And I don't think, rather than dismiss it as being inappropriate or inaccurate, perhaps it should have been addressed with official information. Where there is a void of information, people will fill in the blanks, which is never a good thing.
Thank you, Mary. I just want to make sure anyone hasn't asked a question before. It's an opportunity. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. I live in Kings Mill. I'm a southern neighbor to Northville. And I've been attending some of the meetings with the county and the township. Maybe I'm a little bit ahead of myself right now because you're talking demolition.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm more interested in the water level, water of Mead underground to 7 Mile, and how it affects the waterways, the Rouge, going south. Where we're at, Kings Mill, the northern part of our community periodically gets flooded. And it's like that on the west side also, some of the water. That's what I'm here for. So I'm interested as to when we will do the water level, above, making the water above the ground.
George, do you want to speak to the engineering review and things water runoff?
So is the question more related to stormwater runoff?
Yeah.
Volume and like some of these other talking about what's happening with the environment coming south.
And so from a stormwater perspective, you know, the site meets Wayne County stormwater ordinance. So that controls volume and outlet rate, and that was all reviewed by Wayne County.
It's actually the creek that runs behind us that overflows. That's what we're talking about?
Yes. I mean, so it shouldn't impact that because they're basically restricted to the pre-development outlet rate. So it shouldn't affect downstream flooding.
I'm one of the guilty ones that was just walking across there on Sunday, going in there and doing the demolition after they've done the demolition, just looking at where the water comes from the west and coming from the north, how it joins before it goes underneath 7 Mile. And what it's constructed, it's kind of weird because you have a cement wall over there. And I was under the impression that they were going to do a little restriction in there, like you do up where the water bill is.
Yeah, no restriction in the river itself, though. No. So the development will have a detention basin.
That's what he's saying, I think. Okay. I think he's wanting a zero retention plate. There are all the stormwater that goes onto the site. It's retained on the site. It doesn't go off the site.
Well, it certainly has the outlet. Yeah.
No, it shouldn't have an outlet.
Well, it has to have an outlet. Yeah, it's contained, and then it's outlet.
It should have a retention basin for a period of time to where it's retained there on site.
It is, yeah. There's a huge basin.
Either evaporates or before it runs off the site.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There is a large detention basin where the volume is stored, and then it outlets at an approved rate. Into the river, and then it continues.
Jerry Marecki working about Edward Hines Park there, and there, you're in the process of eventually cleaning up that waterway. That may help it.
Likely would. Yeah. Yeah, the development does have a large detention basin, outlets at an approved rate into the river, and continues downstream.
When will they start that? That's why I say I'm ahead of myself.
Start the river? For the development or?
For the removal of the river.
Yeah. So the river project, the goal is to be able to start grading work later this spring, early summer, probably June. And part of that exercise will be grading out the new river channel that will then, once stabilized, the water will be diverted. And our goal is by the end of this construction season, let's call it October, November, we've completed all the grading work, we've built the bridges, we've diverted the new water channel into the new river, and then next summer of 2025, we would do all the green improvements, all the trees, all the side, all the landscaping, all the lighting, all the sidewalks, and that the river park would be entirely built and completed and prepared for public dedication by the end of 2025.
There'll be other meetings that I can attend.
Oh, of course. Like I said in the beginning, this is a start of engagement. So as activities progress on the site, whether that's vertical construction, whether that's commencement of the river park, we will be having regular forums in which we can answer these questions.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
I didn't hear traffic actually being addressed, how it's going to happen for, you know, Sheldon.
Yeah, I think we had a brief slide on there that showed the permitted truck traffic routes and the staging areas, especially for these early activities.
Like
you can see in yellow, you can see the yellow paths there.
Okay.
Most of the action, as Andy spoke to, will be on Sheldon Street as the dumps as they head south. And the yellow dot that's in the former parking lot of the track, that'll be the main staging area for all of our construction activities. That's other permitted streets in the other Northville Road there, that's other permitted streets. But I think most of our activity will occur on 7 Mile and Sheldon up into our site on Center.
So I'm just wondering if actually these roads are going to be adequate enough for once you actually have residents in
So there was exhaustive traffic review and discussion during our approval process, and I would welcome and encourage you to read the traffic reports that were part of that analysis.
So there will be a roundabout? There won't be a roundabout?
Yeah, there will be a roundabout. I mean, really the city should speak to the roundabout, but yes, there is advanced planning. There's been presentations made to the city council on the design of the roundabout. That roundabout has been integrated into our site plan and our final design.
You don't happen to have a slideshow.
I did not attend as part of the meeting tonight, but the city could provide that, and it's been well advanced in its overall design. I think George Moich would be happy to speak to that after the meeting or during. Somebody that has not asked a question. Yeah, I think that gentleman's hand was up before.
Yeah. Manager talked about work that has a may or may not.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. So there's
mentioned work that may this point, which, again, I agree with Jeff that we're kind of in the dark, right? So have there been asbestos mitigation on site so far?
So we had, so the question is, what work has already transpired, and has asbestos mitigation started? So, and we had called from the city that you guys started grading. We didn't start grading. We had an excavator out there that's trenching the majority around the southern portion.
The house at Griswold and Beale, asbestos mitigation.
Well, I'm going to address that in a second. I'm talking originally about grading. So we're not grading. We had an excavator on site that's doing trenching so that we can install
the silt. I live on river. I see it all. But there has been asbestos mitigation.
I will address it, sir. Yeah. I want to talk about, if you asked about grading and asbestos, I'm talking
about grading.
Out of any buildings? Yes.
The answer, so is there been testing?
Yes. They're doing testing now. They do monitoring testing, and then we're doing what's called clearance testing. So once the asbestos is gone, we have a company that's coming in. They go building by building, and they will clear each building and issue a clearance letter saying that all the asbestos that was identified in your asbestos survey has been removed, and it's okay now for demolition. So that's the work that has been.
That's the issue, right? Because we just said that there wasn't anything done on the site. I live on the river. There's been windy days. If you're removing asbestos, maybe you should say, no, hey, close your windows.
It's not that type of removal. It's not the friable type removal. They haven't started in the clubhouse building yet. And that's a contained building. So they've been very careful on site, and it's not types that becomes airborne.
I think the issue is I didn't know. Right. The barns are over there. You take up the windows, but within hours they take and plastic fell down, right?
Yeah, but the purpose
of... So there was a concern. They fell down and you continued working.
No, the concern is they just take up, what they do is they remove the window sashes that the caulking contains asbestos, and they put that and they discard that properly. So the taping of the windows, if that comes down, that wasn't the sole purpose of it.
But the asbestos was removed from the house and Griswold and Beale.
Yes.
And again, those clearance reports will be provided on our website.
What are you reporting to?
They'll be reported to us, and we're providing those to the city that will be reviewing those prior to issuing the demolition permit.
Yes. 11 houses only under several miles, you know, only 11 houses. Some are brand new, some are older, but we're the ones that I think that because the wind runs west to east, just like everybody's right at our house.
Understood. So
that's our biggest concern.
Yeah. That's it. Well, sorry, this lady said right after a while.
The one thing that I want to ask is if there, obviously, you have to have roads to use the trucks to, you know, get your stuff out of there, and that's understandable. But because the weight of those trucks is probably going to be very heavy, who is going to be responsible for the damage to, like, Northville Road, to Center Street? Because Wayne County is really slow to get some of that done. So I'm just curious about that. And then my second thing is just a general question that I want to know if it can be addressed in the future meeting, if you're at some point going to get people together to show them what you're building and get any feedback on what's going to be built in there, because I have a concern about it being historical downtown Yorkville. So
two questions were asked. One is, what is the status of the roads and the protection of the roads and concern over weight limitation? And then the second one is, what's going to be built there? I'll take the second one first. There was a five-year process of site plan approval, and what is going to be built there has been vetted and approved by both the Planning Commission and City Council. And that's not really the purpose of tonight's meeting, but all the information that you requested is public information, and it's on the city's website and this website. So that whole site plan and the design plan has been already approved, and you can see it there. The first part of the question was the roads. We waited for what's called the frost law, so no trucking was done during the frost law period of Wayne County. The trucks cannot exceed established weight limitations by county. There's some city roads, there's some county roads. So they have to monitor all the weights of the trucks, and they will be monitored by the county. We have photographed the roads prior to construction. A lot of the roads are in bad shape, but we have photographed that. But it's really the city and the county that own the respective roads will be monitoring that to see if there's any construction-oriented truck damage.
And if there is, then who's responsible?
Then the city or the county would hold somebody responsible for that if somebody's done anything wrong. The trucks are permitted to carry the weight on it, and the roads are designed to carry the weight. So as long as the truck is doing what it's supposed to be doing, that trucking company is not responsible. If that trucking company hits a curb and damages a curb or hits a structure, then obviously they're responsible. But normal trucking, the roads are designed for that.
So you had your hands for a while.
Yeah, so we live from my KDG to the north boundary. You talked about on-site pest remediation. Okay, what about the surrounding areas? Is there any plan that monitors pest migration that goes off the site? And if there is, who's responsible?
We have to rely on the neighbors to help us monitor if there's problems that occur that didn't previously occur. Obviously, contact the city will contact us, and they'll have the pest control. We can't just randomly put poison out in, uncontrolled poison out in neighborhoods, so that's why we're putting the fence up first and everything is self-contained. But we'd really rely on you folks to say, hey, there's a problem that exists that didn't previously exist. Let the city know about it. The city will let us know. We'll have our pest control company come out and investigate and take whatever measures are necessary.
Yeah, or collaboratively.
Yes,
ma'am.
What's happened with the signage on the side of the building?
The city had there were three sets of signs. The Northville carriage sign, the big logo on the south, and a large Northville sign next to that. Then there was individual Northville letters that were on the wall at 7 Mile. At the city's request and the sheriff's request, we paid for that at our expense to remove that. We're storing it safely in the building, and we're donating that to the city, and the city will do what it deals appropriate from either a historic preservation standpoint.
Is there any value to the brick on the building?
The other thing that we're doing is there's three different colored bricks predominantly. There's black, the orange, and the blue. We're going to be saving a lot of the bricks prior to that being trucked off, and work collaboratively with the city or the historic commission to see if there's something that we can do with that for mementos or some of the salvage purposes. We're planning on saving several hundred bricks.
This gentleman over there is going to say.
With respect to what Jeff said about the cinder blocks, et cetera, having an 8% of asbestos in them, prior to demolition, and you mentioned the water, it seemed logical that those buildings would be soaked with water before you even start. Are you only going to be basically applying water as they're being torn down, or are you going to pre-soak the building so you're actually containing that before it's even demolished?
The question is, will you be spraying water on the buildings prior to and during demolition? And the answer is yes, we'll be doing both. We really rely on the expertise of the demolition companies that do this for a living, 7 days a week.
That's what they do?
They do what is necessary. Based
no, have they told you that that's what they do?
Yes, so yeah, that's what they do.
They pre-soak the building.
Well, it's to some extent. To what extent?
Okay, I have experience in asbestos remediation. And I can tell you that the only way to effectively deal with that, and I've done this for 3 decades, is if you're tearing up, for example, asbestos flooring out of a basement, that is the first thing you would do, is make sure that floor is soaked. Mm-hmm. That's the best way. You have air scrubs, you can have all kinds of things to keep workers safe and the homeowners safe, but the safest preconditioning would be to soak the
yes.
floor, and that would apply to the building.
Yes.
So if you don't know the answer to that in terms of whether or not they actually do that, I'd suggest that you ask them, are they actually going to go in there with a fire hose or something to actually really soak them down well, because it makes a huge difference, and the people that live near it have a very valid concern about the dust when it's being demolished prior to having any kind of moisture put on it. Significant moisture.
We agree, and that's why we okay. dust control.
I think they should be assured of that.
Is paramount. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
workers are safe, the environment is safe. That's all documented per state requirements, no issue.
There's a couple that we have a due care plan for the environmental, and then there's a more of a procedural plan for the demolition, and that is all documented, and we can review that with the city as well.
I can answer everyone. I want to make sure that gentleman has a.
You mentioned that the river was going to be divergent. Could you expand on what that is? You're going to dig another trench to divert the river before the park trench is done?
Yes, and so the question is, how is the new river going to be built? So for those of you who don't know, there's currently a river underground on the property, traversing on the east side of the property from north to south. That river is enclosed within a concrete box culvert, so it's an unseen underground river. We're building a beautiful new river park with an exposed river. And the first step in doing that the new river will be built in what's called in the dry. So the new river is to the east of the existing underground river. The new river will be graded out, the banks will be graded out. They will be stabilized, and then we'll break the old river culvert on the south end where the water will go in, and then break it on the north end, and at that time the water will be diverted from the old river into the new river channel, and then the old river will be demolished, crushed in place, and that will be landscaped over.
Yes, sir. Yes, staying on that trend, talking about asbestos and environmental contamination, I know you must be aware that throughout this country, there's a mixed class action and individual lawsuits on asbestos. And as a result of that, there's been giant trust funds created for the victims. ENP, no matter how hard you try to do a perfect job, some of the people have some of our elected officials here today ended up getting fibrosis or asbestos, and that lung really takes one or two strands that cause lung cancer. When have you done the grief and asbestos fund for those people who become victims later after you leave town? Have you created a fund?
We have not created an asbestos victims fund. We're going to follow all the proper protocols and procedures that we've outlined today in this meeting, all the reporting and clearance reports that we provided publicly as background in terms of how we perform and operate our remediation functions. Any other questions?
I've done those type of cases, and I guarantee you, they're dealing with this
I appreciate that. Thank you. Joe?
Just a couple of nuts and bolts questions. You had mentioned being an investment for dust control, which I think you addressed also. But you only mentioned that during the demolition phase. I mean, there's going to be a tremendous amount of underground infrastructure that's going to be pulled up, not only the river, but the storm, and there are no signs. There's also going to be the entire site.
Two-part question is, we mentioned, Mr. Snyder suggested that we mentioned the fence and the windscreen during the demolition phase, and would we be doing that subsequent to that during the subsequent phases? And the answer is yes. The intention is to leave the fence up and the windscreen up as much as practical, and then dust control is actually equally important during the grading portion because you get in the hot, dusty, dry summers. So we'll have water trucks on site that are constantly watering down the site. The Toll Brothers has told us that they'll do as much stabilization as possible. So once the land is at final grade, we'll actually seed that to help for dust control during that process. So the answer to your question is yes, and will air monitoring be done during the grading process? That portion is really up to the Toll Brothers. And they're a very responsible public company. I'm sure they'll do the right thing as it relates. maintenance to that.
And one follow-up on that. What is the spacing on their monitors? I don't know. Maybe you can explain it exactly.
They're putting one on each perimeter of the site, and then we're going to expand, make sure that that gets enough coverage. And because wind generally goes from west to east, we'll take a look and see if additional air monitors are necessary on the east side of the site. So
on the east side of the site, that's almost a quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
and the north side of the site is low, but that's probably more than a quarter of a mile. It seems like you're updating like every other maybe utility pole.
Well, again, we're relying on the experts that do this for a living. They've given us a plan.
Okay.
We're going to proceed with their plan. If it's not effective, then we'll add to it.
Well, I just don't want to learn about not being effective.
Yeah, understood.
I read it for a week or two.
Yeah.
Nancy had a question.
Yeah, this site qualified for brownfield money, so you talked a little bit, or you mentioned it, the Dew plant. So I'm assuming that as you start to estimate, you're going to find toxins, or you're going to test. Have you done that testing, or is that an ongoing process? And should you find something, how are we notified? My office overlooked the MGM site when they were building MGM. So there was dust. You can do your best to mitigate it. It's going to come through. And some days I had to cover my air vent. Some days I had to leave my office because it's through the window. So how are you going to let us know that something was detected, and maybe people can take their own precautions in their home?
So the question is, because it's a brownfield, is there potential environmental in the soil as well? We have had numerous tests done on the property, several different testing companies throughout the entire site. We think that the areas are fairly known and self-contained, and there will be an environmental consultant on site daily when we're digging in those areas. If any suspect material is found, that material is trucked off to an approved landfill site, which takes care of environmental. We'll be providing the city with those environmental reports, and it will become public information. But it generally doesn't become airborne material at that point.
So what I heard is testing will be ongoing. It's not complete. And then if you find something, you'll get rid of it. But if I'm living across the street, is the city going to notify us? I mean, what does that time frame look like? Like, say you find something. Let's say it's mercury. Let's say it's some fencing, something that you find in the soil. How is that communicated to you as a city official, and how do you communicate it to the residents? I think that is what, clearly people are worried about the air. I'm worried about the rats, but people are worried about the air.
Sure.
So I think if you kind of walk through that, you will touch a lot of what people are here for.
So again, when I said testing is ongoing, but inspection will be daily during the digging. And it's usually a visual and then a nasal detection that detects it. They have detectors, but they also just rely on common sense to see something that's oily in substance. It's generally not an airborne situation, but they will be doing it under a licensed landfill. They'll be taking it, and then we can provide the city notification to the extent that something is uncovered and the city can be notified of it.
I certainly think we can, but we have to wait to hear if there's something that's actually an issue, because if it's soil and soil is removed and trucked away, I think that's the way to handle contaminated soil.
Correct.
I don't know if there's an airborne contaminated soil issue of big burns in public.
Generally not. It's not the situation that requires that, but we'll do whatever is prudent and transparent in that. You got to be careful about misinformation, too, that if something that's routine, if there was a hydraulic fuel that spilled, we died to remove it, and that gets posted, and everybody thinks that the entire site is contaminated because somebody put out an alert that there's hydraulic fluid found on the site. So there's prudent ways of doing this, and we believe in very strong
prevention. I'm just thinking, Mr. Bill, this summer, maybe I want to turn off the intake valve on my air conditioner. Maybe I want to turn it off. Maybe I want to cover my vents that day. And if you're doing something that you're going to be moving that stuff, maybe letting people know to take precaution might calm some.
Sure.
Otherwise, people are going to they're going to fill in the blanks. So
sure.
It may not be the way you want.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I'm saying, just be proactive.
Thank you.
Thanks.
What if you put down a land that you normally don't do something with, what's
been sent out in the last 8 years. It's never zero in the bricks and stuff, so we have to work with the culture. We would have a normal building site if we started fresh.
Repeat the question, sir.
So would you think that where you're building here, where we're doing this, all the bricks that have been around for 30, 40, 50 years, this is a little bit different of a situation as you need to look at different things?
It is, and we do. We spent millions of dollars of third-party testing and reviews, and we will have ongoing daily testing. So, yes, this site will get more attention, more scrutiny, more testing than a normal kind of greenfield site where we're just going and developing a farm property. So, yes, this will have tremendous scrutiny, oversight by not only testing companies, but the city, the county, and we have a lot of watchdogs in the room that we welcome as well.
We want to be respectful of everyone's time. If there's somebody that has a question that hasn't asked a question, we're happy to answer those, and then we have to wrap up in the next 5 minutes. Sir, go ahead.
Hi, thanks. This is kind of for you guys at the city, and I'll skip ahead of the demos to say, but just looking at the map, my personal thing, I have a business on Union Street, so I face the project. I noticed that it's not a restricted area, I know, because building will happen there. Is there going to be any restrictions on traffic or parking? Make sure that you guys will have on-site parking for all of your workers or any contractors in the area.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up Brett Uhas, our Senior Vice President of Multifamily Construction. He's been working closely with our contracted general contractor for the north and can talk through construction staging.
So all the staging will take place on site. So if you're familiar with the site plan, a more densely populated area of the construction will be along the north. But we will contain all of our on-site logistics, staging, contractor parking. So the expectation is that daily tradesmen or tradeswomen that are coming to the site will be parking on the site. They will not be parking in the adjacent decks. They won't be parking on the streets. They'll be traversing them, getting to and from, but obviously on the approved routes. But the expectation is that no construction personnel should be parking outside of the boundaries of the site. That will be drilled down in every single site meeting. Every time a new contractor touches base on site, they go through pre-orientation meetings, they go through safety meetings, they go through foreman meetings. We will post maps ad nauseum all over the site that the expectation is that they will stay on site and they will park on site.
Just for ALS, thank you.
And just to add to Brent's response, one of the parcels that we are going to build housing on ultimately will be used predominantly for staging during those initial phases.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I just want to make sure, Michelle, no one else is. Is there anyone else that's not had an opportunity? Okay. Sorry. Go ahead, Michelle. You were first.
We have a board meeting tomorrow.
Correct. Yeah, myself and Richard Barr will be there tomorrow night.
I'm sorry.
Myself and Richard Barr will be there tomorrow night. sorry. So, Jeff, I'm happy to talk to Jeff after that. Yeah.
No construction traffic on River Street.
That's correct. It's prohibited, not only from our own internal logistics plan, but it's also outlined as a prohibited street and development agreement. That gentleman had his hand up.
Kind of an extension of those same questions. So there will be access going down Griswold to Beale?
Yes.
As well as KD, and then KD south to the main entrance?
Yeah, and just to answer, well, I guess this leads into a question that was asked earlier in terms of road improvement. So one of the conditions of our approval is improvements to Griswold after construction is complete, along with KD Street. So new curbs, asphalt. Yeah. Okay. Jeff had his hand up first. Sorry, Jeff. Okay.
Was there air quality test? Is there a baseline air quality already made because it's been the asbestos potentially floating around? We've already removed asbestos, correct? So was there any testing? Was there perimeter testing? We've already done that.
No, there wasn't perimeter air quality testing.
So we could already be exposed.
I don't think so because it was non-friable removal contained within
guys I saw walk in were in suits.
Correct.
So they were concerned.
Because they're physically touching. They're physically touching it.
So it's probably 300 yards from my house.
Is there
going to
be a baseline done?
Yeah, they're going to do what's called a clearance letter. So they're going to go and physically inspect and test every building, make sure before
they. What about like the perimeter? What is it right now compared to
what's going
on? The air quality. I mean, if there was dust in the air, it's not there anymore. They're going to be testing buildings to make sure that when those buildings are torn down and dust that gets created from them doesn't contain asbestos in them.
Go ahead.
George, this is to you as much as it is to the team here. Would it be appropriate to bring somebody in from Eagle who can walk us through what the steps are for testing before demolition that they have to go through, the testing and the hazardous mitigation that they have to do during, as well as the steps back, and how all of that is required by law. They have to follow it. I think that could be something that could provide us with a level of comfort and understanding. Right now we're asking questions that we have because there are missing puzzle pieces. If it would be very helpful.
So I think that certainly this is a very prescribed part of the law. I mean, these contractors have very specific regulations. They are licensed to be able to remove asbestos. So I certainly would be happy to have Eagle would come out and talk about it. I'm not sure if they will, but I have no problem trying to organize that. I think that, you know, these contractors are licensed to remove asbestos. They have to follow certain procedures and best practices all the time. They do this all the time. So I think that we're potentially we're out between the wheels. This happens all the time, as you know, if you're a development person. So asbestos is in each of the buildings. It's the green tile that's in any 1940s offices. It's removed all the time. It's very prescribed by law, and the contractors have to follow that. That's why there's this third-party testing to make sure it's done properly and monitoring to make sure it's done properly. So I think that. That is the best answer, but I'm certainly happy to try to have you come out if they'll talk about it. I can explain it to people and explain the process. But I don't know if you guys have a view on that.
The view is, do you think we're going above and beyond the legal requirements by having third-party testing companies that are not even required, to have air monitoring companies that are not even required? So we think they're doing that, but we'll get with George and talk about an extra layer of review on it. As George said, people remove asbestos in schools while kids are still in session. You know, we're not prescribing that we're doing that here, but we're doing everything that's appropriately done in this community.
We're going to stick around for a few minutes. I know everyone's asked the questions. We're happy to stick around for a few minutes.
The asbestos you're talking about, probably 99% of the asbestos is in the concrete.
There's a lot of, I think we're losing the crowd here.
Yeah, we'll be putting a mud mat on the entrance on off Center Street in that gate, and that mud mat is. It's monitored and enhanced as we go through the process.
But we're happy to stick around for a few minutes. We appreciate everybody's time. Thank you. I'm going to go to the next one.
Wendy,